Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Fisherman Ministry, South Carolina. This is their Sunday morning service. We thank you for joining us.
Howdy.
Let's go.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. We got a full house today. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. With a huge responsibility. Huge responsibility. All day at home with the kids. Which I know y'all just are so grateful and so happy every day you get up for the opportunity to fellowship with your kids. All day long. Sun up, sun down. Praise God. I'm just kidding there a little bit. But your mothers, you do have a really big responsibility. And you guys are the ones that potentially stay at home most time with the kids, upbringing the children. And what you guys minister is what they pick up. And it's important to be in tune with the Lord as you're raising your children. You know, I watch my little ones and some of the things that they do, and I go, I can't believe they do that. And it just reminds me of so much of me, it's not even funny. And it gets me a sobering look at myself. Sobering look. Lord, I'm really like that? Yep. I didn't give you that much of a hard time, did I? Yep.
Still do some days.
But praise God. No, I... Paul had something to say. I don't know what. But I'm sure he has a lot to say on that matter. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I do look at... you know, I thought I was going somewhere this morning. And, you know... As we start praising the Lord, singing songs, something else enters in your mind. It's like Lord saying, go this way. But I look on the grace of God and, I look on the grace of God and what He's done for me in my life. And at many times, folks, many times, I'm not this one who was like, oh, I accepted the Lord. I turned to the Lord and started moving forward on this date and this happened and my life just changed. No. No. That would have been good. My testimony is one of going in the ministry, out of the ministry, in the ministry, out of the ministry. Like a yo-yo. And each time, it was like the Lord kept me from death because I've kissed it this time so many times. It's not even funny. I almost wound up dead in a ditch too many times. Almost had buddies of mine said, nope, he's dead. Let's get rid of him. But by the grace of God, somebody was there to have CPR on me. But it's like the Lord's miraculous power kept me through all that. See, years ago, I seen my stepfather healed by the Lord. And the guy that prayed for him turned to me and said, Do you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm thinking, I just came back from partying. I have no place to live, and I just started living in with Paul. And I'm thinking to myself, I better go along with this so I don't get kicked out. I have nowhere else to go, and he says, so I say, sure, not knowing that prayer would take place. But I praise God I did. I praise God I did. Because I don't know what it would, I don't know if I'd be standing here if it wasn't for that. Actually, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be. But I want to go to, I just had it open. I want to go to Luke 16. And he said also unto his disciples, and he's about to tell a parable here. There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted all his goods. No, that's not the one. What's the one of the prodigal son? It is 15? Okay. I'm going to start at Luke 15, verse 11. Thanks, Paul. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided it unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into to his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Yeah, I'm going to stop right there. Because I've been this son too many times. It just shows him doing this once. But yet, the Lord had grace on me. And in my worst situations, he had delivered me. I turned to him, I repented, and he yet turned to me and forgave me and sat me at his table and fed me and gave me everything I needed. Everything I needed. And he's done that to every single one. And for every single one of you guys, if you would just receive it. If you would just go up to him honestly and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been rebellious against you. I've been rebellious with what you've given me. I have rejected you. And because of that, I almost have died. But yet you kept me. And yet you gave me life again. And it's his heart in my heart. And now with this love that he's given me, that agape love of Christ, Scripture says, while we were yet sinners, yet while we were at our worst, at the bottom of the barrel, kissing death, whatever it may be, when we were at our worst, he died for you. Despising the shame was what the Scripture says. Here's God, creator of heaven and earth, the only reason why we're even here, He made things. He made all of us. He made, created the world. And here's God despising the shame. He was crucified, beaten and whipped, and was hung up on the cross, an open shame for everybody to see. Hating on him, railing on him. And when I look at what I've done in my life, it is no different than me sitting there slamming that nail in his hand. No different. Just as guilty. But that's the love of Christ. And he did that so we can have unity with him. So when the Father looks on us, he doesn't see the sinful, hateful people that we are. He doesn't see the sin. He doesn't see the wretched man that I am. He sees his Son Jesus, who walked perfect in obedience without sin unto death for our sakes. And you know, I was reading in John, so I guess I am going to go into it. I was reading in John, and here's something that hit me true. I'm going to start with John 4. Because once we have received, we've received this grace, you know, the question boils down, am I willing, as the Lord's people went away and they loved me at my worst times and took me back in at the worst times, the Lord loved me that much, am I willing to do the same for my brother? You know, I can say I love God till I'm blue in the face, man. The proof's in the pudding. Do I love my brother more than myself? Do I love my sisters more than myself? Do I prefer them more than myself? I should. God forgave me for something that I could never, ever repay. I could never, ever be worthy. But yet he died for just that and was resurrected in power so I can have communion with him, and that all that sin is washed away. And I'm presented clean before the Father. That's what he's done for me. And yet we have a hard time sometimes, a lot of times, loving our brother, are preferring our brothers and sisters in the Lord over ourselves. And it ought not be so. Scripture says, if you love God, you'll keep my commandments. So I'm going to start reading 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that's the point. If you go back up to where it says that we might live through him, there's that word might there. Might. That doesn't say will. That doesn't say shall. That says might. Because we yet have that choice every day to partake of his grace, making him Lord. I talked a little bit about the Savior part. That's good stuff, man, when the Lord receives you after just being beat down, the world chewed you up and spit you out, condemned to hell, but yet the Lord gives grace and reaches you out. That's the Savior part, and that's an awesome part. But you take that Lord part, folks, and as Christ and what he's done for us and going to the cross despising the shame, that's the same kind of love that ought be in us. That ought to be in us. And that's where you make him Lord. And it's to be in that place, it can't be about you at all. It's got to be all about the Lord and what he would have you do. That's called holiness, separated unto God, all about his business and his will. Jesus Christ, the perfect example, doing it with no sin unto death. And you know what? That means that as he died for us on that cross, we now have that choice. We receive that grace. We're reunited back with our spirit again. From birth, we're separated off. That blood reconnects us again. So what does that do? That gives you a choice to listen to the spirit or listen to the flesh. This flesh wants what we want. This flesh wants destruction. The enemy uses this thing to drag us down, take us to hell. But see, he gave us a way out. And by choosing the spirit and the Lord in his will, you know what? You can have that love for one another. You can. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. But that is the only way. And it's not by our righteousness. It's not by what we've done that's good. It's about what he's done. And just being obedient to what he tells you to do. And I'm telling you, there's some times where it's suffering. It's not fun. We take Jesus again. He didn't deserve it. The only one that didn't deserve it took it. The only one that didn't deserve it took it. But sometimes it's not fun. But on the other side of it is great joy. If Paul can do it, who was chief of sinners and was stoned, beat, shipwrecked, bit by snakes, he left everything he had. Man, he had a high authority in the Pharisaical order. A high authority. But he counted all his dung. And if he was the one that was persecuting Christians, see how good the Lord is? He takes the one that was actually killing Christians, which is the same as crucifying Jesus on that cross. And he took him and made him an apostle of the church. That is the evident token of how big God's grace is. And if Paul can do it, chief of sinners, but you know why he went out and suffered all those things? So that people could hear the grace of God and the gospel. That they may know the love of Christ as he understood it. As he knew it. That was absolutely revealed to him 100%. That means you can do that same thing. It means you can do that same thing. Because he hasn't given you what? A spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You can only love one another with Christ's love is in Him and in the Spirit. You're not ever going to do it with the flesh. This flesh won't save you. Only Jesus Christ and His blood and His Spirit can. We have this opportunity now to get it right with the Lord. The time is short. We live, then we die, and we're not even guaranteed tomorrow. I'll run out there and I get hit by a truck, be dead that quick. We're not guaranteed, folks. 90 years, 80 years, 70 years, whatever. We're not guaranteed it. But right now, you have the time to get to know the Lord. And there is no other thing that I want than my family and the people around me and me for the Lord to say, enter in thy good and faithful servant. I know who you are. What does the scripture say? The sheep know my voice. I want to know His voice so when He comes a calling, I'm there. The Lord's good. And without Him, I wouldn't be up here. And don't get that confused, folks. And there's a lot of people in here with that same testimony. I'd be dead right now. But yet, He's taken me and put me at His table to eat and dine with Him. The Lord is awesome. And when I read that about that son, I can relate to that. And I want other people to know how good the Lord is. And then that love. So I need to learn to not be about me and to be about the Lord. Amen. Done.
Well, thank you for not clarifying anything at all for me. I have no idea. We'll see where it goes.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, you made sense. You did well. First couple things. It is a true testimony of you that you wasted your substance. That is the first thing. And the second thing is the Lord is good. And while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies of Him, according to Romans, He died. He commended His love to us, that He died for us while we were yet sinners and while we were yet His enemies. And that brings, at least in my mind, the thing that most of us as Christians we've gotten used to seeing and used to operating in is an attempt to fix this flesh. The flesh is cursed.
Right.
It's going to die. He did not come to save our flesh. He came to reunite our souls and our spirits with His Spirit. That is life, and that is eternal. And it sets our hearts, the seat of our will, of our decision making, free to choose His way, to agree that His way is just and righteous. And if we follow it and seek after Him, then we too can have eternal life. These bodies aren't going up to meet Him in the air. They're done. They're toast. And we see so many people who are about the business of trying to fix this and make it look righteous, make it look like it belongs in the church, make it look like it belongs to the Lord, make it look like it's something you should respect and honor. And it's just, the end of that is not a good one. Because if you've spent all your time and substance trying to fix this thing, then you haven't spent any time and substance seeking Him and His will and having His having your heart changed into what He wants and what He requires. And I refer back to David. I think he was charged with was did a census. He numbered the people when he wasn't supposed to. And the Lord was mad at him, so he said, "Okay, you can engage your enemies and take their beating, or you can subject yourself to me." And the choice of David's was, "Oh Lord, I'll suffer your correction, because I know you're gracious and you're merciful. And I know you will not destroy me. My enemy, I can't say that about." And you know, even in our worst days, we can remember that the Lord didn't come to save this. He came to save a change and make our hearts His and take possession of our hearts. And Romans says that we were in bondage. We were in bondage to our flesh, to sin. That means we didn't have a choice. And He came that we might have a choice and be able to choose Him. Then you wandered into 1 John. A lot of good stuff here. 1 John was, in part, referred to testing the spirits. And we're in part in quite a conundrum here as we walk around, because our interface with the world, natural world around us, is this. It is this flesh, these eyes, these ears, and we have to learn how to discern what we're seeing, what we're hearing. We have to be able to operate in the senses of the spirit and not so much the senses of the natural. We did this on the Hour of Truth last week, so this is going to be something that y'all can go back and listen to that on. But let's go to Matthew 7. We'll start at 13. "Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many, or majority, there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You have, doesn't matter how wide the cattle pen is, the chute, single file. They're going through a single file. There's a press to get in there. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." The chiefest of the false prophets is this flesh to you. It's giving you bad data and bad information. It's feeding you unbelief, disobedience, and rebellion. And that's because it's like trying to run a Mac with Windows 7. It doesn't work. At least they might say it works, but... And I'm the last one who should be using a computer metaphor anyway. But it's just it just doesn't work. It is in league with the enemy. Romans 8. Let's go there for a moment. I'm going to go there. You don't have to go there. I'm only going to do one verse. You got enough. You got enough to worry to deal with out here, with people lying to you and systems failing and systems that are set up to work for you, failing you, and people who set over you to defend and look out for you, failing you and seeking their own. You don't need to be lied to and destroyed by. The chiefest of the false word deliverers, the flesh that is in league with the enemy. There is now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is literally in league with. And the idea that this can be done is kind of news to many people. But this thing, that's what this thing here says. And, the whole next rest of the chapter is about, how that works and why the struggle out of Romans 6 and 7 is a glory and grace to those who actually understand that this isn't about fixing this. This is about seeking Him first and letting Him make everything else that matters. Let Him fill all that stuff up for you. It's simple. Sometimes it's not easy. But our only source of trusted information is His word, those He's put over us, and those who share like faith as ours. That we actually can spend time with one another, provoking one another to righteousness and good works, and exhorting one another. And it is part of the system of the kingdom operation that He's put in place to keep us on that straight and narrow gate, and it pressed to that path. When our chief witness is a liar and in league with the enemy, we have got to learn how to reorient ourselves to operate after the Spirit and to benefit from the communion of saints, those who are of like faith and have participated in a common salvation, who lift one another up in prayer and exhort one another to do the word and not just to hear the word. The next verse, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You're not going to get from a lying spirit, you're not going to get the grace and truth that's going to lead you to salvation. You're going to get that which the enemy wants to deliver to you, is to kill, steal, and destroy you. That's what you're going to get from it. So the kind of, if you can't go to Goat House and get wool, right? Even so, every good tree which bring forth fruit, but even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And that's just a statement of the condition. That's the way it is. And when the exact chapter and verse eludes me, but the phrase referring to heart with unbelief in it was an evil heart of unbelief. Every corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. It feeds unbelief. Unbelief is what caused Israel to fall in the desert. Unbelief is what breeds fear. And as you listen to that little voice that says, "Oh, God didn't really mean that. You shall not most surely die." And these are lies that are designed to feed, foster unbelief and get you back to where you're listening to the suggestions and prompts of the enemy. Good fruit, on the other hand, is once you've, as an act of choice of your will, chosen to seek Him first and His righteousness and let all these other things be added unto you.
Yep.
There's no condemnation for you. You can walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And you have the conduit, the connection that is going to be enable you to operate in that Spirit. You can see things spiritually. You can hear things spiritually. You can understand things spiritually. And apart from your ability, your will, your desire changing to want to know Him and His ways, you'll never walk in the successful that successful place. And that not only brings forth good fruit from you, it delivers good fruit to others. And as we know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's preferring them over yourself. And then it goes in, every tree, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. The end of that tree is destruction. The end of that tree is destruction. Wherefore, by these fruits ye shall know them. Not hard. Look at what's coming forth out of them. What are their works doing? What is their testimony? Is testimony point to Jesus or glorify themselves? What's going on here? And the next verse, it goes right into, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And that's everything we've just said. These people look real good. They just point to themselves instead of to Jesus Christ. The testimony is, "I can show you how to fix this." Not Jesus is all I count on. He's all that is worth anything. And there's always something about glorifying themselves. The motive that's in operation here in the next verse, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" So the first thing I would want to do is throw the BS flag down. You're lying. That hasn't happened. Jesus doesn't accuse him of that. Jesus doesn't say anything about that. He says, "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." He never challenged what their testimony was. He never said you weren't doing this and that and saying you were doing it in my name. The workers of iniquity, workers of pride, they were pointing to themselves as good and righteous. Oh, glory to me, and it not to him. And that is a false testimony. That's one that will get you to have Jesus tell you, depart from me, I never knew you. Ye that work iniquity. So this is a really important stuff. Learning how to work, learning how to operate, learning how to process this information, learning where to get it from is really important stuff. And one of the things I referred to only in passing on Thursday night is Hebrews 5. And it was talking about, as you know, as far as you people have, as long as you people have been here, y'all ought to be getting strong meat, but you're not in a place for that. You have to take milk. He says you ought to be teachers here. You ought to be doing the work of the ministry. It comes a time of accountability. It's going to be put up or shut up. Are you going to walk and believe God to meet you in ministering grace and salvation and mercy and the gospel to other people? Or are you going to sit down there and warm a seat in the church for the next 40 years? What's it going to be? Not that you're guaranteed that. If you're not out there bringing forth fruit, why are you here? Why are you here? You think you can punch the clock for God and He's going to be happy with you for the next week? Because you came to church, it doesn't work that way either. My prayer for us is that we get these things straightened out and we can move on to the more important things of the ministry. And demonstrate that we learned somewhere along the line how to love somebody because He first loved us. And to pass that love on and to give everybody else an opportunity to be partakers of His divine grace and mercy and His righteousness. He's good and He wants good for us and He wants to teach us how to receive that good. And partake in all the good things that He has for those who love Him. You know, there's one other thing. And that thing, we sang a song that says, out of the furnace of much affliction. And I don't know if your mind's supposed to go to the Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But that furnace might have been a furnace of affliction, intended affliction, but they didn't get afflicted, did they? The guards did. But, I mean, there is a refining furnace that's referred to elsewhere in the New Testament. I've tried desperately. This thing has not a very good concordance in it. So none of the key words that I could think of led me to find it. But our God's good. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they made their choice. They said, look, we will not bow down to you this day. And our God is able to deliver us. But even if He doesn't, we're still not going to bow down to you this day. And this day, our God will deliver us. One way or the other. And that was just such a powerful testimony. It changed everything that was going on at that time. That is our testimony. If our testimony can stand that strong, that look here, I don't care what you do to me, I'm not moving. I know what I know what I know. Amen. You know what I'm saying? It's that powerful, it's that strong, you're not getting me to move. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your word, Lord. I hope your word, you honor it and faithfully deliver it. to the youth and the prospering of those who have heard it today, Lord. I ask that you bless and multiply your blessings to those here and help them to engage you to deliver your goodness according to your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.